But the first reading is what I use first night, first reading, when I do a parish mission on the first night. Because from this reading, everything else falls into place in the spiritual life. And it begins with poor Samuel. Samuel is sleeping in the presence of God. He's sleeping in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of God was. So it's kind of like for our day, if you and I were sleeping right here in front of the tabernacle, this is where Samuel was. But get this, Samuel didn't know God. Is that what it says?
Oh, I think so.
It says here that even though Samuel was in his presence, he didn't know because the Lord had not yet revealed anything to Samuel. So first of all, we got to know that everything begins with God, not with us. God makes the first move in our relationship with Him, not you. God has been calling your name from all eternity. Whether you seek Him, whether you don't, He's seeking you. So here is Samuel laying in the presence of God, but he doesn't know God yet. And so God calls him by name, as He calls all of us, by name. It's that intimacy, that vocation, that He has something planned for you and me, so He calls us by name. And so Samuel thinks he's dreaming, or he hears Eli, so he goes running to Eli. And Eli, just because we're priests, don't mean we get it all the time either. So Eli doesn't get it either, God's calling him. First three times, or two times, then he goes, oh, maybe it is God. You are in the presence of God. So next time you hear it, say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. So he goes back to sleep, and he hears his name being called again. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel wakes up, goes before the Lord, and says, speak, Lord, I'm listening. This is the first thing we all got to do. We got to come before God and say, God, what's important isn't what I want. And that's the problem. Too many people follow Jesus as long as they're following Him and God is doing what they want Him to do. That is a pagan religion. That is listening to these preachers that say, God wants to give you everything you want. That's a lie. God wants to kill you. That's the truth. The cross. That God who will kill you, take you through the cross, will bring you to everlasting life. But what you and I got to do is die to our will first. If you and I don't die to our will first, we cannot follow Jesus. It isn't about doing it your way, it's about doing it His way. So Samuel, the way he entered into this relationship was said, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And if you want to translate what the word listen means, it means to obey. It just doesn't mean, okay, I'll hear what you have to say and I'll do what I want. It means whatever you say, I will obey. I will do it. So, this is important for the rest of the homily. What you and I have to do, and we can start doing it tomorrow. You wake up in the morning and you say, God, whatever you want, I will obey you. I won't get mad if you're not doing it my way. I will obey you no matter what because I am your son. I am your daughter. And whatever you've given me for you and for the body. So that we first come before God tomorrow, if we don't do it already, and say, Lord, the only thing I want is what you want today. And I will obey you. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I will obey. Then we go to this gospel, and this for a second reading, not the gospel yet, we'll get there in a second. And the second reading is a powerful reading, because it talks about that our worship of God cannot just be our spiritual life, what we do in our prayer time. Our worship of God has to be with our bodies, because the last line here, it says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, how do we glorify God in our body? Well, we're going to look at three things. The first thing is impurity. That, you know, some people say, well, this is my body. No, we have just heard that's not true. If you have been baptized, the day you got baptized, God purchased you. And what did He purchase you with? His blood. It cost God His life to get you as His own. So, your body isn't yours, it's God's. He already purchased it. You might sit there and say, this is my life. No, it's not if you've been baptized. It's God's life. He owns you. But not as a slave. He didn't own you and purchase you to be his slave. He purchased you to be his son or daughter. That's why he calls you by name. And if you want to know what life is, you do it his way. If you do it your way, you will know what death is. You'll know what division is. You'll know what pride is. You'll know what pain is. You do it his way, you'll know what life is. So the first thing we got to do is worship him in our bodies. That means we are pure. Now, purity is not just lust of the body. Well, there's all kinds of lust of the body. It's not just sexual purity, though God calls us all to that. And we've talked about the struggle with that, not just for men, but for women. That God wants you to be pure. Why? Because you are the temple of God. And that's why he says, any other immorality, it goes here, it says, the body is not for immorality, impurity, but for the Lord. That's why he raised it by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined in the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality, sexual sin. Huh? Every other sin a person commits is outside his body. But the immoral person sins against his whole body, and thus he sins against the Holy Spirit. So what comes down to that reality again, that you and I must be pure. Sexually pure, that means we obey God. Now some of it's a struggle. The only way to deal with the struggle of purity is obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience is the only thing that'll set us free. What kills us is pride. What kills us is doing it my way. The only thing that'll set us free is obedience in his will. And so when they come before God, they say, God, let's speak, Lord, I'm obeying. And so the first thing I will obey you with is my body. I will be pure because you command me to be pure, because you dwell within me. So first, the sexual purity. The other kind of purity we've got to struggle with, because some women sit there and say, boy, am I glad I don't have that one. Phew! We've got to be pure in what we put into our bodies by the food we eat. We are temples of the living God. You can't fill the body with junk because you pollute the body. What we got to do is we don't do it. We got to glorify. Above my mirror is this very reading. And it says above my mirror to remind me every day, especially when I realized I became a diabetic, is that I must glorify God in my body because this is his temple. So I got to take care of the body. Not for me, to take care of the body for me is vanity. There's enough vanity in me. Oh yeah, Father's vain. We all know that. But the reality is, but more than that, that I got to take care of the body because it's God's, where God dwells, to glorify God. So by what I eat, by how I exercise, by how I don't exercise, I do it for God. Or I'm supposed to do it for God. You know, some people sit there and think, well, God doesn't care whether I'm fat or skinny or big or small or I eat junk or not. That's a lie. God does care because you're his. You belong to him. He wants you to be take care of the body that God has given you. That's what he wants. And so if you and I struggle with that, we got to be obedient. I'll do it, Lord, not for me, for you. Because this is your body. One of the greatest examples of someone who repented was St. Francis of Assisi. You know, so often when people are following Francis, they just talk about his first couple years and they pull these things out. And he did terrible mortifications on his body. But right before he died, he repented of that. And he said, forgive me my body where God has dwelled. Do you treat your body as the dwelling place of God? Not for your vanity, so everybody can think you look good. But do you treat it as the place where God dwells? Do you treat your body as a temple of God? Because that is God's will for you, and you are called to obey him in that. Not have it your way. I like McDonald's every day in the morning. That's nice. What does God want? How do we take care of our bodies? The third thing we got to do, the way we glorify God in our body, is that we use our bodies to serve. The reason you and I have been given a body is to serve. The reason you and I have health and have another day alive that He hasn't taken you home yet is to serve. Remember, the very first miracle Jesus did, in one gospel anyway, was heal Peter's mother-in-law, right? And Peter is real happy about that, right? And so when Jesus goes in and He heals the mother-in-law and Peter, what does she do? She serves. Now listen, when I do healing services and that too, I sit there and I'm talking all the time. God will not keep you alive so you can enjoy your retirement. He could care less whether you enjoy your retirement. That's not the point. Retirement is heaven. That's where it's at. The only reason God and you keeps you and I alive on this earth is because He wants us to do something in service. Even if we're in a little old man or woman in an old age home, God wants us there to offer our life in service through our prayer. We become monks. If you and I can't do things anymore, we're getting older, we can't be a service, you can do great service. You can be a person who prays for the world. You can pray, be a person that prays for your sinful pastor. That'll take you at least 24 hours a day. You can be a person that prays for your family for conversion. There is something God wants you to do. So in your body, you're called to serve. So when we come to do all this, we start with, okay, God, I am here to obey You. And I'm to obey You in my body, in my sexual purity, in my physical purity, and what I eat and how I take care of my body. And I use this body not for my glory, but for Your glory, which means I use my body to serve, for the service of others. And then finally, when we listen to this, we need to do all this walking in the presence of God. And the way we walk is, how was John the Baptist describe Jesus today when he saw Him? Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. That if we're walking in the presence of Jesus, we need to become like Jesus. He said, come and see what life is. And when we come to see, we stay with Him. That means we become like Him. So that people should look at us and say, there is the Lamb of God. Not the Lamb of God, the total one. But here is a person who has their life and in their body only desires one thing. To obey God. Jesus was the Lamb of God because He took His body and He offered it in sacrifice to the will of the Father. We too become lambs of God when we take our bodies and we offer them in sacrifice to the will of the Father. Any questions? You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? Good. May each of you know His love today and forever. Amen.